Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Walk the Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Soup Kitchen. It's Gav, and you join us back after Sunderland's 3-0 defeat at the stadium alight at Coventry City in what was Michael Beale's first game in charge as head coach. And we're going to get straight into it because there is a lot to talk about and we don't want to drag it out and spoil your Christmas, ultimately. But hopefully we say a few things which might resonate. Joining me today isn't Chris, as I said on the preview, it's actually Martin. Hiya, mate.
Hello, Gav. Yeah, that was certainly one of those days where everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, didn't it?
Mm.
It was pretty shite from start to finish.
Yeah, and you're back on these shores, aren't you, to watch the games this Christmas time, which is a change for you. So they couldn't have turned up for you even, but there we go.
Well, I was at the Leeds game, and that was that was, you know, a stark contrast to what we saw this afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's get straight into it, mate. Let's talk straight about what sort of happened there. I mean, we've just been, me and you, watching the highlights before we came on just to try and sort of get the memory going again. It was really poor the way we conceded those goals today, wasn't it? I mean, the stats, when you look at them, indicate Sunderland actually played really well on the stats side of things. 21 shots, 6 on target, which isn't great, of course. 60% possession, far more passes, far better passing accuracy even. But the performance in the end, it was poor, wasn't it? And there's no getting away from it. We saw no new manager bounce. We saw no indication that these players were inspired or energetic or really up for it. It just felt like everything was a bit flat in the end. Nothing felt different. And yeah, there were aspects of the performance that were good. I think Michael Beale himself said after the game that he felt box to box, we actually played okay. But it was the finishing and the defending which let us down. As has been the case all season, really, whenever we've lost games, we do let ourselves down spectacularly when it comes to the goals we concede. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. But the performance, let's just talk about that in isolation. I mean, what did you think of how we played from start to finish?
I thought it was a strange game, really. I think you go right from the very start. I think the team selection was odd. I think Barr's been indifferent at best in the last couple of games. I think he started against Leeds and against Bristol, didn't he? And I'm just not a fan of Barr. I just don't see really what he offers. I think he's one of those players who's obviously a good technical football player, but he hasn't settled into a position. He hasn't really shown us anything apart from flashes and bursts occasionally. And I think to start him, first of all, in the team, and whether he would have been in the team had Pritchard not been ill or not, I doubt. But to put him, first of all, in the team, and then secondly, up front. So I thought, when I saw the team, I thought, right, Job's going to be up front. Barr's going to be playing in the number 10 role. And you're going to have Neil and Ekwa sat behind him. Which to me makes sense. And I didn't see any logic whatsoever in playing Barr up front. And I felt a bit sorry for him. Because, you know, he's almost been hung out to dry today by sticking him up front. And you know, for the, you know, you talk about performance, I thought the first 20 minutes we actually played all right. I thought we had a lot of possession. I thought we were passing it around pretty well. I thought we got into wide areas pretty well. Both Roberts and Clark had chances to go at their defenders. And, you know, I think it kind of turns on that miss from Barr after about 20 minutes, doesn't it? Clark comes in, has a great shot. You know, I think he forces the keeper into making probably the only half-decent save the keeper has to make in the whole of the game, as it turns out. But the ball comes out to Bart, and we, like, that's got to go in. There's, it's one of them chances, isn't it? Like, it's a sitter.
Yeah,
we've got to score that. We're on top, and I think if we score that, the game takes on a whole different direction. But of course, he blazes over the bar, and from then on, I think we kind of lost a bit of confidence, and that kind of was the story of the first half.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely that chance. I mean, there's no getting away from it. We'll talk about Bar because you brought it up there. I think I'm sort of in the same boat as you. I'm not really seeing it. I think I mentioned on the pod the other week that I don't know what his position is. He's not a striker, certainly. And if you're one of those strikers on the bench watching that, you're not going to be happy because there's a lad getting in ahead of you up front who is never going to be a centre forward. There was obviously some tactical reason why they chose to put him there, but he's lacking in confidence. It's not his position. I think you just said there's perfect. He was kind of hung out to dry, to be honest. And I think on the back of this, sometimes it takes a spectacularly bad kind of performance to really send the message home. But I think on the back of this, there's going to have to be a major rethink about what we're doing up front. Because I read it out before, 21 shots and only 6 on target, dominated the ball, yet we've scored no goals. I mean, we'll get onto the defending, but the issue at the top end of the pitch has been there for a while now. And
yeah,
and there's lads there who need to be able to be given a chance, a run of games to prove themselves. I'm not saying any of these guys are the answer. We don't know. I don't know if Rusin's the answer because he had a little burst of games and I thought he played okay and then he got injured and now he seemingly can't get back in for whatever reason, which I could understand if the lads who were playing ahead of him, if it was really working, and we've seen like glimpses of it with Job playing further up, that's worked. And to be honest, I'm a bit surprised we didn't do that. A bit surprised maybe Bard didn't play a bit deeper alongside Neil if that's what they were going to do. Or even Oshish in for Bar and play Job further forward. I wouldn't have a problem with that because Job has demonstrated an ability to score goals when he's played further forward. So I don't have a massive issue with that. But the team selection, actually, yeah. I think it was that was a weird one. I think you're right. If Pritchard had been fit, it would have been him instead of Bar. But even then, I still would have been looking at it and going, well, I don't know. What was the plan there with regards to scoring goals? Because it feels to me almost like we aren't, we're just trying the same thing over and over here without getting anything. We're not. It's not working and we need to give one of these strikers a chance in the team.
It smacked me of, you know, preparing all week for a team with Pritchard up front, then him dropping out this morning and being a bit scared to shuffle it around too much. But like, you talk about Rusin, right? And to me, if and I know it's dead easy to say, right? But I said, you know, we did something on the site earlier in the week about, you know, the things that Michael Beale has to sort out or the challenges that he'd be keen to address in his first couple of weeks. And for me, like, the biggest thing he's got to solve is the striker issue. Because, you know, we've got 3 or 4 strikers at the club. And look, you can argue till the cows come home whether they're good enough or not. But as you say, they haven't been given a chance to prove that they're not. You've got Rusin there who scored a really nice goal on Monday night against Arsenal's under-21s. You know, I don't know if you saw it, but it was a tight angle header, just, you know, a real poacher's goal. And you kind of think, look, he's had a decent run out there. He's scored a goal. He's back from injury. And if you're Beale coming in, go, look, this team hasn't been scoring. It's got a few strikers. Nobody's managed to get them firing. I'm going to get one of them firing. And you go and you set your stall out straight and put Rusin up front today and let him have a go in a home game with a big crowd. And it baffled me why he didn't, because, you know, what we saw transpire today, as you say, it's this, like, the performance today, I think Beale did some things that I didn't agree with today. I think he was really slow with subs and I think he should have made some subs at half time. But that performance is pretty much identical to what we've seen all season. Lots of possession, lots of chances, not being able to score goals. And, you know, that's not on Beale. That's on the coaching, the recruitment and all that sort of stuff, because we haven't managed to get anything firing yet. But, yeah, it just baffled me putting Bar up front. I just thought it was a really, really strange decision. And, you know, I actually thought he played well in the second half, though. He, to be correct, to all fairness to him, He came out in the second half where, you know, I think he should have been took off at half time. But he came out in the second half and he actually played well. He's probably one of our better players in the second half. So all credit to him from a, you know, a mentality point of view, because he came out and sort of did well in the second half, and it would have been easy to kind of sink into a shell. But, you know, the most concerning thing, I know we're kind of jumping about the place here, like, but the most concerning thing with the whole performance today was how we heads dropped.
Yeah.
2-0 down, our heads dropped. And we have not seen that all season from, or last season from this group of players. We went off it completely. And whether that's just a reaction to the whole last 2 or 3 weeks, or whether there's something else, or whether it was just a one-off, who knows. But we just dropped our heads and we kind of wrote the game off. And that was concerning because we haven't seen that from this group before.
Yeah, that was the big concern. It's like I said at the start, there was no energy, there was no... I don't know if enthusiasm's the word, but normally when a new manager comes in, you're at least expecting to see a reaction from the players to say, okay, we might not necessarily agreed with the decision for the last manager to go, or some of them may have, I don't know. But you would like to see them at least come out in that first game and show sort of him what they're made of as a group. And it just wasn't there. It wasn't there at all. I think it was very much... the patterns of play and the way we move the ball and stuff, it's all stuff we've seen all season. It didn't matter who was on the touchline today. I remember seeing an interview with Mike Dodds, and he'd said this was during the time obviously we hadn't officially appointed anybody, and he'd said that they'd planned everything up until the Coventry game in terms of tactics and team shape and everything. So and I said this on the preview with Chris, I said that, you know, I was pretty much expecting this team to just be more of the same, really. I wasn't expecting Beale to make any tweaks, really. I suspect that as a group, the coaches, particularly the ones who've been here a lot longer than Beale have, I would assume that things like selections and the way we played would have mainly been down to the group as a collective. So I find it hard to blame Beale for the performance, but I think it was very obvious that he had to make some early changes and he didn't. And I don't know whether that was on him or not. I think you're right about Barr, by the way. We said this at the game, that second half he was like a different player. He was much better. Things he was trying to do in the first half that weren't coming off were coming off. So you've got to give him credit for that. And you know what it is? To me, I don't go in on players, particularly if they're trying their best. And to me, he does. He tries his hardest. Maybe it's just not working, you know. But I didn't think he deserved to be G'd off the pitch the way he was. I thought that was pathetic, if I'm honest.
Well, him and
a lot of fans, a lot of fans let themselves down with that today. I mean, there's a lot of things that people have got a right to be angry about at the minute. You know, well within their rights to voice their opinions. But jeering a young lad off the pitch like that, that's not representative of the fan base. I think that's pathetic. I think the people who did that really let us down today. And, you know, it was kicking off all over the place after that. We were talking off air and you mentioned, because you were sat in the Premier Concourse, that there was a slightly different atmosphere up there. Maybe people who don't go to as many games were up there, and sort of people who were back for Christmas and things like that. So maybe it was a different atmosphere. But where I was in the southwest corner, it was pretty vile at that point. And I don't know, I just think it's harsh on the lads. I think Barr was poor. Yes, he didn't deserve to be treated like that though. And you mentioned Ekwaekwa got the same treatment. I was crap for one of the goals, where he lazily sort of didn't really put himself in front of the ball. Yeah, there's no getting away from that. But I just didn't like the way that they were treat, if I'm honest. I just think we're better than that as a fan base. I just think, you know, for a long time we prided ourselves on being a sort of a fan base who, you know, all we want to see is players who try, and yeah, that's not good enough for me. But that's by the by. I think a lot of frustration spilled out from everything at the minute. Obviously, there was the banners before the game in the north stand, and there was one in the south stand. I missed it as I was on my way into the ground, but I heard about them, and the banners relating to the decision to house the Newcastle fans in the north stand.
Yeah, there was.
So obviously there was that sort of tension. The performance didn't help, obviously. And I think by the time we were 2-0 down, the ground emptying, the jeering, the cheering for Tony Mowbray, which I found a bit odd, it all added to the performance becoming more and more miserable. And then it was capped off with the Niall Huggins injury. I mean, you know, we are jumping about here, but it's hard not to because there's just so much to kind of cover. But that for me has overshadowed everything. The performance, the reaction to the manager, the reaction to some of the players. Like, one of our players has just had a really serious injury. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but I'm sure people have seen the images. It looks terrible. And it couldn't have happened to a... Like, it had to be him, didn't it? It's like, the poor lad cannot catch a break. Finally, it feels like he's kind of made that position his own. He's become a regular through his own merit. He's worked really hard. He kind of got held off last season for pre-season because they felt, oh no, he needs a pre-season just so he can get up to speed. He had a pre-season. He worked hard when he got into the team. He kept his place. He's played well. I'm just really gutted for him. And that injury is more important than anything else that happened today for me. I'm gutted for him.
No, I was sat in the Premier Concourse and I could hear him scream out, cry out, and I heard a snap. I heard like something.
Yeah, I did see somebody else who was in the Premier Concourse said the same. I did see that.
And like, it just, you know, I've seen one image of it, I've seen a still of it, but like, it looks horrendous. And like, I think, you know, without obviously us knowing anything further than what everybody else knows at this point, who's watched the game or been in the game, I would be very surprised if he plays again this season. He's,
That's kind of the indication Michael Beale gave after the game, didn't he?
Yeah. And it's, as you say, to reiterate what you said, like, it's such a shame because he's been one of our standout players, I think, this season. He's got better and better as he's got more football. He's such a good player. And after spending the best part of two seasons out injured, for him to come, you know, he's had a great run of games this season. He's looked pretty robust. He hasn't missed games through niggles. He's looked as if his body's holding up. And, you know, I guess... If you want a very small positive out of that whole thing for him at this point, it's not a recurrence of anything that he's had. That looks like it's a freak. It looks like a freak break. He got his studs caught in the ground or something. Like, it looks like a completely different injury. And I think, you know, that's probably the only one very, very small positive he might take out of it that's not a recurrence of an old problem that's coming back and hasn't resolved itself. It's something different, but, you know, it's such a shame. And, you know, as you say, he's forced himself into being a first team regular, and he's been playing really well, and he gives us that versatility. He can play right or left. He's really comfortable on the ball. He's got a good link up play with Jack Clark, and as you say, capped off a shit day by seeing that and him being stretched off.
Yeah, the goals that we conceded, we might as well talk about those. The first one from Sakamoto, I think, it's credited to him, but it kind of deflects off him into the back of the net.
Yeah.
It's the defending in the build-up that really, really annoyed me. And the highlights I watched when I got back didn't catch this, but when the ball comes over the top, Huggins, ironically, you know, talking about him, but Huggins goes for a header. I don't think he's really got any right to win, which kind of... don't know what, it muddles everything, and then 09 gets caught tussling with somebody. They break away. We don't stop the cross. It kind of deflects off. Patson like makes a save and then it deflects off Hume and then onto their player. It's just, it's pretty lucky, like, but we didn't help ourselves in the build-up, did we? That's the annoying thing about that one. And yet again, we're sat here talking about a goal we've conceded on the podcast where it's our own fault. We've self-inflicted goals yet again. We never seem to just concede good goals. It's always shite defending. It's really irritating us at the minute because we're so much better than some of the mistakes we're making. You know, like, good players are making silly mistakes every week, and it just feels like we're incapable of keeping a run of clean sheets together at the minute.
No, it doesn't. You know, as you say, it came, I think Patterson had the ball and we were playing around with it at the back. Patterson chips it over to the right-hand side and, yeah, we don't win the header. But, you know, I think shortly after Barr's miss, Coventry had a couple of great chances, didn't they? Patterson pulled off a brilliant double save from. So we'd had a warning that, you know, these aren't going to sit back and just let us attack them. They're going to come out. So we'd already had that warning. And to get into that position, essentially we had possession of the ball was just crap. And, you know, I've been a big fan of 09. I do like him playing centre-half. I know some people don't, but I do like him playing centre-half because I think what he gives you progressing with the ball out of defence outweighs his deficiencies usually. But that incident today where he wasn't looking at the ball when he went for, when he's chasing, I think it was with Wright. He was looking at Wright and he tried to just shoulder barge Wright to outpace him to win the ball, and he lost out. And if he just concentrated on the ball, he would have had a far better chance of defending it. And yeah, that's another mistake, you know. And I think it's only like we'll, you know, as regular listeners will know, we'll usually defend 09 because I think he does get harsh criticism and unjust criticism a lot of the time. But I think it's important to like call out 09 today because I think he had 5 minutes at the end of the first half where he was diabolical. And I think, you know, for that goal, he was really, really poor. The goal obviously went in, it was a pinball machine in there and sort of deflected back off the Coventry lad for a goal. But then shortly after, we had that situation where he was tussling in the box again from a Coventry corner. Referee warns him once, corner's about to be taken. 09 wrestling and wrestling again, brings the lad down. And I tell you what, if the Coventry player had any awareness about him, if he just kicked that ball into play, they would have got a penalty because it was a foul. And he was brainless. And again, I'm a massive fan of 09, but that was absolutely brainless. And you know, he's been caught out at Swansea and he's been caught out another couple of times this season. And like that has got to stop because like that could have easily been a penalty. I say if he just moved the ball into play, the referee would have had to have given a penalty. The reason he didn't give a penalty was because the ball wasn't in play. He gave 09 a yellow card for it. And like that was just... that was a terrible 5 minutes for 09 because like we could have been 2-0 down, and you know obviously we ended up being 2-0 down later in the game, but like it was needless.
Yeah, it felt like we saw the best and worst of him in that period, because I thought first half 09 had a really good game.
No, he handled them pretty well,
and then he makes that mistake where, you know, he doesn't need to do it. They score, you know, it's not just him, but he does make a mistake in the lead of that first goal. And that one you've just highlighted there, that really pissed me off because he got away with it the first time. You know, the ref pulled him back. He said, right, come on, sort it out, blah, blah, blah. And then seconds later, it happens again. And I'm, you know, if the referee had awarded a penalty as a result, he would have had nowhere to hide because he'd been warned seconds before. Like I say, I know he's not the biggest lad. I know he's not the most physical in terms of his upper body strength and his height and all the rest of it. But he doesn't need to do it. Just be more streetwise, you know. Be more streetwise. It's not difficult. You know, I get pissed off with them doing it.
Like honestly, if Coventry had been switched on, because you could see it happening because he ran from the back post to almost the front post holding the lad. And if Coventry had been switched on, they would just chip the ball into the box. The referee would have given a penalty because it was the foul was 3 or 4 seconds. And like we were fortunate that Coventry didn't spot it or the corner taker didn't spot it to take advantage of it. But you know, 09 gets booked for that, and then he's on the knife edge all game. And you know, it's not the impression that you want to make on your new head coach on his first day in charge, is it?
No. And then the second goal was again terrible from us. Too easy. Huggins gets done, then the ball comes across, and I've got no idea, to be honest, what Pierrette was doing. He doesn't even, if you're going to say something was lazy, that was lazy. Yeah. Because in that situation, you're expecting him to get his full body in the way to stop it. I don't know whether he was tired from running back or what. It's not an excuse. You've got to get your body in the way of that. And this has been one of the criticisms that a lot of people have had of Ekwa since he come back from injury, is that he does that too much. And to be fair, Tony Mowbray was quite public in sort of pointing that out, wasn't he?
He was.
But sometimes he's got to slap him around the head. That's what he said. But it was poor from him. And again, it's another poor goal to concede. And then the third one to round things off was more of the same. Just shit defending from us. And Patterson makes an absolute howler to spill it to them. I mean, just grab your thoughts on those two goals. But it kind of felt like the second one happened, the atmosphere in the stadium totally changed. People started driving from their seats, down the stairs, out the ground. There was booing, there was jeering. People really weren't happy. They were pissed off that it had happened, that we kind of collapsed. And then the third came in amongst all of that, didn't it? And it was just minging. And it was Casey Palmer, who for years playing Coventry always plays well against us. He's one of the most annoying players to play against. he just looks brilliant every time we play them. And I kind of read what Coventry fans say about him, and I don't think he's the most consistent player, but whatever reason, when he plays Sunderland, he always turns up. And it was just shit. Both goals were terrible defending. I'm sick of talking about crap defending. Like, we are such a good team at times, but the defending is amateur at times too. And it's like, you know, I just kind of hope Michael Beale takes us back to basics in some respects, because the defend against Leeds was outstanding. That's the first time in a long time after a game I've said, brilliant. But for today, awful.
Yeah, no, it was. And I think, you know, the most frustrating thing about all of that was their goal was a counter-attack after we'd had pretty much 20 minutes of possession in their half, a few good chances, a few good runs. You know, we worked ourselves into good positions and we were let down by that cutting edge, that finish. And, you know, for those first 20, I actually thought for the first 20 minutes of both halves, we played really well. Especially that second half, I thought we came out with intent. We looked fired up. We were playing nice football. We were really getting at them. We were pressing them. Clark had a couple of good chances to force a good save out of the goalkeeper. I think he put one wide and he put one straight down the goalkeeper's throat. And you know, we just never looked like scoring despite all the possession that we had. And you know, that's, you know, if I'm going to have one criticism of Beale today, it's that we didn't make a sub then. Now, I know I've said at half time I expected subs.
Yeah.
You're looking at that 20 minutes of the first 20 minutes of the second half where we haven't managed to score. Like, the game's crying out for get Roussin on, get Mayenda on, whoever it is, but just get somebody different up front. And if we'd made the change at 1-0, you know, again, hindsight's wonderful, but if we'd made the change at 1-0, we could have kept that pressure up and given them something else to think about. Instead, we didn't make a change. We dallied on changing it. You had people warming up, but we didn't make it. Then we just conceded two crap goals in, what, the space of 4 or 5 minutes. And, you know, the game goes from being, you know, it was relatively positive in the opening stage of the second half. 5 minutes, it goes completely on its head. And yeah, look, defensively, I agree. Like, we keep talking about the same problems in defence. People getting dragged out of position. We're not defending well. And, you know, there's going to be some decisions made, isn't it? Obviously, the replacement for Huggins is going to be forced. But you've got Pembele, who played for the under-21s on Monday, who looked really good for 45 minutes he got there. He's going to come into the team probably sooner than he might have expected now. I think Silt's got to come into the reckoning. Whether we go with a back three or a back four, I don't know. But as you say, against Leeds, we defended so well with Silt as part of a back three that you wouldn't be surprised if we tried that, because, you know, Beale's come with a reputation of not really liking wingers too much and not playing with wingers too much. So going with a couple of wing backs and maybe having Clark somewhere a little bit further in field, and, you know, maybe switching Roberts out. I don't know, because Roberts flattered to deceive. Well, he had a lot of the ball. He got on the ball a lot and he had some good runs, but there's just nothing in terms of end product. And you know, you're kind of looking at his stats for the season. It's not a one-off today. It's been the case for the whole season that he's just not productive. And, you know, in a team that's struggling to score goals, is he one of the reasons for it, or is it the lack of a striker affecting how he's, you know, his end product is? I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, we need to try something different there as well, because it's just not working.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway. I think we've got to try something new. I think, you know, it's okay to kind of point out that while you might like players, they might have to come out. You know, I wouldn't, if Luke O'Neill got dropped from that defence, which I don't think he will, I don't think he'd have any complaints, to be honest, because he's you know, he's had a couple of indifferent performances where he's making silly mistakes. Don't think he will, by the way. But you mentioned Silt there. He had a cracking performance against Leeds, and then he's nowhere to be seen. And I just think, you know, it's not, you know, he deserves to come back in.
Yeah, you know, if you're looking for a positive, right, and it's difficult to find one, but if you're looking for a positive today, you could argue that it could well be a case of two steps backward to go three steps forward, right? Michael Beale's come in, and, you know, the rhetoric all week has been, you know, there's got a great team here. There's not much to do, just a few little tweaks and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not necessarily convinced that is the case. I think you know, for us to go where we want to go and challenge for the playoffs and all that sort of stuff, I actually think we need to change a few things. You know, as you say, we've been talking about the same problems all season, giving away cheap goals, silly goals, having too much possession on occasion and not scoring. And, yeah, you know, they're actually quite big problems when you think about them all, right? So, you know, if we'd drawn this game, if we'd had a 1-1 or a 0-0 or even got a tight 1-0 win, you can't continue with the same thing, not wanting to change too much. This might actually fast-track him changing things. He might go, you know what, we need to just, these things I can see fundamentally wrong, we just need to change them now, rather than trying to ease into it. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's just, that's because that's the sort of performance that forces big changes. You know, I said to my dad walking out, it's like that the last 20 minutes of that game was more like a manager's last game in charge than the first game. And it had that sort of feel about it. So I think that could just be, you know, and I say I don't think there's a great deal on Beale today apart from, you know, again, I think he's slow with the subs. But I think that could actually be Beale's, you know, clear card just to go, right, we need to change this and this and this. We'll do things my way from now rather than trying to ease into things. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting. Obviously, we've got Hull away, Rotherham away, Preston at home, then Newcastle at home, haven't we? We've got four tough games for him to come into over the next 2 weeks. And, you know, there's going to be opportunity to switch players around, give players a chance. But we've got to get some points on the board in the next three games because you don't want to be going to the Newcastle game on the back of a few defeats, do you? So it's going to be a tough couple of weeks for him, but it's a good challenge for him. And look, that's why he's here. He's here because the thing he can do better than Tony Mowbray was doing in the short and long term. So, you know, it's his chance to prove it. And hopefully, you know, he's got that bit between his teeth and he's got a few things to think about when he's chewing his Christmas turkey, hasn't he?
Certainly does. Yeah, I think, like, you know, I mentioned 09 there maybe coming out, but possibly not as well. You know, you could go with the back three, wing backs. You know, we need to change the shape somewhere. Because you mentioned Patrick Roberts, but Clark recently, his output's not been there either. You know, you take the penalties out of it. You know, he's got like, I think he's got something like one assist in nine games. So it's clearly not working. That's the thing. And we can all see it.
No,
sometimes, I think you're right. Sometimes you do need to have that kind of performance where it's like, okay, right now we need to reset. And maybe that's what will happen. I hope that's what will happen because at the minute, what we're doing isn't working properly. You know, we've had a couple of good results there where we had, you know, the wins against Leeds and West Brom. But still, this is the same theme coming across now from the performances we had under Mowbray.
Yeah.
These are some of the same issues. The defending is clearly a problem. And it does kind of feel like we're not addressing it properly. We're not addressing any of the problems properly, really. We're not addressing the defensive issues because we keep playing the same shape and same system. Obviously, the Huggins injury forces us to change slightly. I suspect it'll just be, you know, Sealed coming in, maybe going with more of a back three, that sort of thing. But also, like I said, Roberts and Clark aren't getting the goals and assists like they probably should be. Yeah. We aren't playing with a centre forward. So these are all things I would say are fairly obvious. And after you've been tanked 3-0 at home with a new head coach coming through, there's nobody can sit there and say, well, I deserve to play the next game. It should be a case of, okay, we've had a bad performance. Where can we tweak things and change things? The issue is that, you know, it's the 23rd, the day we lose. Tomorrow they'll probably train, recover. They'll be off Christmas Day. And then they've got Hull away on the Boxing Day. So there isn't really time to change anything massively. And I suspect that we'll probably just get more of the same at Hull. So it's like, when do you flip things around?
But I think you look at how we changed from the West Brom game to the Leeds game, and we came into the Leeds game with a whole different approach. Like, that's completely different how we've played all season in terms of approach and tactics, right? So I think we can do it. And I think, you know, I think Tony Mowbray was maybe a little hesitant to do so because, you know, he kept saying about how young the players were and, you know, we need to make it simple for them and all that sort of stuff, which, you know, there's probably some truth in that, but also you need to be able to trust players to be able to do different things in games, and we showed against Leeds that we can do that.
Mm.
So I think he will make some changes, some tweaks to it, because, you know, clearly that system with Ekwa sat in midfield and Bellingham and Neil in front of him isn't working. It's leaving us wide open in midfield on occasion. I agree with you. I don't think 09 will be dropped. And I think, you know, Beale will be wanting to keep or get the players onside, keep the players onside. And 09's a big fundamental part of that. He's a big person in the dressing room. He's the captain at present. And I think he needs 09 onside just to keep things ticking along. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to go to a back three. And I think that would probably be the right thing to do. Obviously, it's a shame that Huggins is out, because I think he's better going forward than he is going backwards, and wing back probably suits him well. But that's another conversation for another day. But yeah, looking on the positive, you go, okay, well, hopefully that performance actually speeds things up for Beale. It takes him 3 or 4 weeks ahead of where he thought he might be. You know, there's nowhere to hide after a game like that. So
no,
let's get cracking with it.
Absolutely, mate. Well, I wish we were going into Christmas talking about more positive things, but we aren't, unfortunately. But there we go. I hope you have a good Christmas, mate. Enjoy.
Ah, you too, and likewise to everybody listening.
Yes, thank you everybody who's bought the book, donated at the Soup Kitchen fundraiser. We'll leave that run until the end of the month. So if you can add to that, that would be fantastic. I think we're pretty much sold out of books, but if there are any copies left, you can probably get them on the Your Love Supreme website, so check that out. Unfortunately, we're not leaving you with happy memories of Sunderland's latest performance, but there we go. Hopefully things will turn around at Hull, and, you know, we can be a bit more positive after a nice Christmas as well. It would be good, wouldn't it? Because
yeah, let's hope so.
That's about as low as it gets. I don't think there's ever been a worse opening home game in history for a Sunderland manager. I think that's literally the stat.
I think it's nobody's
had such a bad start, so it can only get better from here, surely. Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Gav.
And thanks to the listeners. We'll catch you after and hopefully we've got 3 points to talk about.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.